Story, I did this for you. I did it. We got it. I got things up and running, at least marginally correctly, I think. But we'll see.
Now that we know that we can do it without Story, the Fire. Beginning of our plans to eliminate him can
is that a midnight coup that I hear?
Ooh. Oh,
a midnight
coup. He referenced the gun from the game, everybody.
Now you know you're on a real Destiny show. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 138, I want to say, of the Planet Destiny podcast. We're back once again on a week before a rather big week in the world of Destiny 2. And we have got our usual roundtable of hosts, except we don't. Hi, I'm the Black Link. There's Mega Magwitch, if he's right where he should be. And we've got two special guest hosts for this week's episode. Miss Moonvald will be joining us again. Hi, how you doing?
And how are you?
Pretty good. I'm psyched to have you guys here. And of course, Nim himself, the man, the myth, the legend. How you doing, man?
Doing good, man. Thank you for having me again.
Right on. Good to have you here. I've been, like I told you before we went live, I've been wanting to get you back on since Destiny 2 came out because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. And we've got a lot of stuff going on this week in the world of Destiny. But before we dive on into that, we're going to get down with Mega's dance and his fresh-to-death cap, just rocking the Marty McFly. I can't take credit for that. Moon made that joke. I'm stealing it. Shamelessly.
I think I mention it every time.
Guys, y'all get it. Yes. All right? Bones isn't here, so someone has to be the looks. And I didn't know Nem was coming, so I tried to be the looks. But now he's here, so I don't need to be the looks. Which is why I'm wearing sunglasses to hide my face.
Mm, that works.
I mean, regardless, I think you still took it.
Oh, my.
You're beautiful. But right on, we have got ourselves one crazy week in Destiny coming up, and we're going to be covering a lot of the stuff coming up this week. But first things first, you guys are our guests. We like to give our guests a opportunity to talk a bit about themselves, their channels, what they've got going on. So, Moon, we're going to start with you. Who are you? Who is this person who's been on the show like three times?
I am a T1 scrub. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a streamer, artist, and up-and-coming content creator for Planet Destiny. And yeah, that's me.
Where are you? Do you exist on the internet?
Where am I? Oh, okay. I do exist on the internet. You can find me at twitch.tv/moonvald and twitter.com/moonvald.
Why are you?
Why?
Why am I?
Why?
Oh, God, don't get me started.
And how?
Let's not open that can of worms.
How are you?
Okay. And, of course, Mr. Nim, what's up, man? Who you is? Who you is? Where you at? What you do?
So I've been with a Planet Destiny for, little over a few months now. I've been streaming over on the Twitch side for PD and kind of sneaking my way little by little over to the YouTube side. Of PD, I've put out a couple of videos over there.
You have,
and, yeah, it's been fun. I stream on my personal channel as well. That's Strimma right here.
Strimma Mans, yeah, that's right. And can I say thanks for the work you do both on the Twitch page and on the YouTube channel? You kind of picked up the early afternoon time slot that's right after when my streams usually end.
Yeah,
and especially with the YouTube videos, thanks for doing like reviews and stuff because I don't have to do it all anymore, and I'm happy about that.
And you know, I have like two videos or three videos in the works, but I don't know if you've been or if any of you guys have been following what's been going on lately. I've had kind of like a family thing going on, so it's kind of held me back a little bit, but stay tuned for them. They're coming. I swear to God they are.
Right on, man. Well, we appreciate the work you guys do, and happy to have you here for this week's podcast episode. So let's just dive on into it. I guess we can start with the This Week at Bungie, which brought up a couple of interesting things that we're going to be experiencing. First and foremost, the prestige version of the Leviathan Raid is going to be dropping this Tuesday alongside Iron Banner. And I gotta say, I'm
hungry for that.
I want it. I want my content. I want my armor. So I guess we could start with the raid, or do you want to start with Iron Banner? You know, I'm gonna let Mega choose. Raid or Iron Banner, which is
let's do the raid because I'm terrified of it and I need to talk about how terrified I am.
Yeah, you're
anyone
right.
Who's done the Prestige Nightfalls should feel terrified, I feel like. If the enemies are going to be as tanky in this raid as they are in that Prestige Nightfall, oof. I mean, I'm assuming there's not going to be a timer, so it won't be like you're pressed to kill them quickly,
oh,
but
man.
Good God, I don't want to be burning through like a clip to kill a thrall. Like, I don't want something like that in the raid. I'm terrified by the prospect. I can't handle it, baby. But I'm excited. I'm excited to watch better players play the Prestige raid. If I had to guess, I'll enter it like one time, beat it once, and probably never touch it again. Usually Prestige is where hard modes of Prestige is. I'm like, I'm good. I'll pass. We're cool.
Nope.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
I'll wait until there's some pro strats on everything before I really give it a go. Let's say that.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, we don't really know what the Prestige version of the raid is going to bring. I think they mentioned something about that in the weekly update itself, that it's not going to be like they're going to change all the mechanics up. They're just going to basically make the encounters harder. And if the Prestige Nightfall is any indication of what we have to look forward to, yeah, man, you're looking at gladiators, the cleavers who take four clips of auto rifle ammo to kill. And I'm not exactly sure what that's going to mean for the raid in and of itself, because it can be a fairly hectic raid, especially if you're taking through people who you're trying to teach the mechanics to. And yeah. I'm not even sure. I think the Prestige version describes it as being the ultimate test of might and metal. Enemies are stronger and smarter, and new mechanics will require new strategies. So, looking at the raid, and looking at all the previous raids and the hard modes of them, I want to say we kind of have an idea for how Bungie likes to change up encounters, but really, I have no idea what they're going to be doing here. Like, how are they going to make the gauntlet harder? Are they going to make it so that everybody has to survive
in the gauntlet while you're running through?
Oh my gosh.
That would be a nightmare, wouldn't it?
You gotta slap
There's
a purple
only
scion.
One person just outside, just getting each
cycling.
Yeah, one person. No.
So yeah, why don't we talk a bit about that? Ooh. How could they make that harder?
I would like it if they made it so you couldn't have the same person run twice. Since you have to get six people through the normal like three things or whatever, make it so like after you've picked it up, you can't pick one up again until it gets to the very end thing or whatever.
That might
so
be
everybody
it.
Has to kind of change it out. That'd be cool. That would at least be something I could see being like a challenge mode if they have something like that in there.
That's actually really good, because I think that's in line with some of the stuff that Bungie's done in previous raids, where, like, you know, I think the end of Vault of Glass, everybody's got to destroy an oracle during the Athian encounter. They with the prestige mode and the heroic modes of raids, they really like to get everybody into the mechanics and to make sure basically everybody has to swap around roles, so you're not just having, you know, your dedicated runners, your dedicated goons outside of, you know, in the throne room just killing stuff. And I think you might have nailed it there, Mega. I would be willing to
boom
put some glimmer
not
on that.
Just a pretty face and some dumb jokes, people. I got a brain too.
He's got the brain.
The full package.
Yeah, I think for Kallus, it's going to be almost like the same thing how we saw with like Atheon, where they might just teleport a random three inside and maybe leave the three outside.
Yeah, rather than picking who stays in and who warps out.
I mean, if they're trying to go that route and, like, just have everybody do a little bit of everything, they might just RNG that up again.
I could see that happening. That way, you know, the encounter doesn't change too much. You just have to make sure everybody knows every single role, which, again, is pretty in line with Bungie's thinking.
Which I think they said that in the update as well, that they were going to change, you know, they were going to be adding some mechanics, but largely it was going to, like, remain the same. And I'm assuming that the revive tokens, they're still going to be in play. I don't think it's going to be like you can't res somebody, because, I mean, even in the normal, if somebody dies, you have 30 seconds to get them. Otherwise, it's a team wipe.
Yeah, and I mean, I have the line right here. It says, "We do not expect everyone to be successful in completing this activity. Mechanical changes to the encounters are minimal, but they are there. The Prestige Raid is about mastering a more punishing sandbox. Our goal is not to provide a boon to your character progression, but that there are unique rewards to help you shine." So that line would certainly go along with that and saying, hey, we're just going to make, you know, the room itself a little bit harder. Maybe there's going to be a couple more mages in there. They're going to be a bit tankier, and they're going to be at 300 light. So they're definitely going to hit a lot harder. But yeah. There will be some small mechanical changes in there, but nothing to really completely change the experience. I don't think that's ever really been the case when it came to a raid with Bungie.
Can we safely assume more dogs? Like 8 dogs? There's 8 flowers. Does that seem like
that.
The logical thing? You're going to have to kill 8 of them? I mean, there's already 8 flowers, or maybe they run to random flowers instead of being the same ones every time. I don't know. Like, seems like that's an easy one to tack on some difficulty.
Yeah.
I wonder how they would change that. I could see they could make it so that the dogs, you know, they enrage faster, so you have less time to get all of that done. I don't know, maybe add a couple more Centurion snipers to kind of gum things up.
Imagine those the little light prisms like on where you have to stand, imagine those rotate as well along with the flowers and such. That'd be interesting.
Oh yeah. And you know what? And with the enemies and the dogs themselves, as tanky as they are, with them being 300, you'd probably have a lot less time to kill them just based on how much health they would have. That's probably going to throw a big wrench into the things. And again, just going off of our experience with the only prestige activity we have, which is the prestige Nightfall, enemies are a lot harder in that than they are in normal activities, so...
You're not going to be times 24 killing the dogs, probably, this time. Yeah.
No more of that pulse grenade cheese on the dogs.
That's so silly.
I'm assuming that's what everybody in here does nowadays, right? Just toss pulse nades and walk away?
That's all you got to do. I just for the first time this week beat it on a Titan. Like, I had only done the raid on my Hunter all the way through before, so I did it on my Titan this week, and I was like, this is like a whole new world. This is the easiest dog kill of all time. I like almost accidentally killed it when we were just damaging them and we got spotted early. I was like, oh my god, what is this? Yeah. Pulse nades. Crispy.
I like it.
Crispy. Yeah.
Double pulse nades plus a cluster bomb rocket, like the curtain call or the raid rocket, is it's ridiculous DPS right now, and I wonder how that's gonna affect things on the prestige mode. I don't know.
That's actually what I was using when we just raided. And I killed my dog on accident, because I know we did like a two-phase there, and then immediately they were going restless. But yeah, that's what I did. Just the double pulse in the rocket launcher. Nope, his health just went down entirely. Like, oops.
Rip
sorry,
dog.
Guys.
Is the prestige raid locked loadout? Do we know that? Before
I'm
they
sure
said they didn't want to make raids locked loadout, but it seems like a prestige one would... Like, everything else prestige-y seems like it's locked loadout, and that would really be... rough.
That would be rough. And you know what? I think Luke Smith brought that notion up before the game came out, and didn't he say that the raid wasn't going to be locked loadout?
Yeah, he did.
I think that might have been.
Did he say the prestige?
Yeah.
He said the raid. Did he say the prestige raid wasn't? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine maybe encounters are locked, so maybe like, you know, once you step into and start the encounter in like the bathhouse, your loadout becomes locked or something, but I don't know, man. I don't know if they would want to. You know what, I'm going to say no, because like he said, he didn't want people to be like, oh, I got the Midnight Coup, I can't use it, let me drop to orbit and come back.
That's fair.
So,
I think you're
that'd be really
being a little ridiculous if you think someone's getting a gun to drop in the raid, all right, TBL? I don't think we need to worry about that. Okay?
It's a hypothetical.
Yeah, if it was locked, though, that wouldn't be a huge deal. The only thing I ever change, I feel like, is my heavy. I change it. Like, I use rockets, or I use Merciless for some parts and rockets for the rest. That's about it. But yeah.
Yeah, I use like constantly switch heavies in that raid.
Mm-hmm. My biggest thing would be I change my super literally every encounter. So,
really?
Like,
yeah,
as a hunter, I use.
Oh, yeah.
I use Golden Gun when I'm killing the dog with Celestial Nighthawk, and then I use Tether for any of the Castellum parts. And during the Bathers, I use Tether. And then during Kallus, I use Arc Strider with Raiden Flux, because I can be inside the throne room and clear all the adds before he does his mind wipe thing. We have to pull everyone in with the mind's eye. So I'm constantly switching up during. Yeah.
I mean, let's talk a little bit about that. What's everybody's go-to raid loadout for this? Start
well,
with
we just went through mine.
So we'll go through it again. You didn't say your primaries, boy.
I use the Better Devils and usually some sort of auto rifle, like Uriel's Gift or something like that.
Pretty
and
good.
Then Merciless or the Raid Rocket Launcher for me. That's how I rock. That's how I roll.
Moon?
I still have pretty minimal experience with the raid, but what I've run so far has been any combination of like an auto and a scout. and then either Merciless or a sword. So
I've been seeing
just my experience.
I'll take that. Yeah.
So far,
I've been seeing a lot of auto rifle usage in PvE, and I'm loving it. I'm glad that they're relevant in Destiny 2. Nim, you men?
Ghost Primus for my kinetic. Love that. And the energy and heavy, it varies on the encounter. Because for Kallus, you know, I have Cold Heart equipped with the Sense of the Past. And for the dogs, Sense of the Past and maybe like another auto. I like having, you know, steady ammo for the adds and whatnot.
That works. I mean, the Ghost Primus is super good. I picked that up from one of my runs this week, and I'm so glad I got it because it's a scathe lock archetype, 600 rounds per minute, and it's super duper stable. That thing, I mean, most autos in this game are already laser like, but that thing's just particularly good. Really enjoying it. For me, my go to for my past couple of raids has been Dire Promise, which is the Dead Orbit hand cannon. That's probably my favorite hand cannon in the game. It managed to usurp the True Prophecy from Future War Cult. I just love the way it feels. It's so fast and snappy.
Mm-hmm. Let that Dead Orbit just flow right through your veins, TBL.
They got lucky. They got one good gun.
They got lucky.
One good gun. You got lucky, Dead Orbit. You got
They're
one.
Probably done, then. That's their jive, right? I mean, everyone's still clinging to the Hung Jury from Destiny 1. They had one good gun. Now we're going to cling to the Dire Promise.
They make up for it, shaders. It's okay.
There you go.
But, not anymore.
New monarchy looks like Iron Man. Get out of here.
New Monarchy Diamonds is beautiful. It's so good. But energy wise, I generally swap between the Pleiades Corrector, which is the Future War Cult Scout. It's energy Mida. I love that thing. And like Cold Heart, you know, for boss damage and whatnot. Yeah. Generally, I run Curtain Call for my heavy. I just really love that dumb rocket launcher. It's just a lot of fun to play with.
My problem is I don't have Cold Heart on Xbox, which is where I raid more often. I know I'm a bad person. Rip. I did not pre-order the Destiny on Xbox.
And you're not flexing those streamer muscles like, hey, Bungie.
Well, I mean, that's how I got it on. That's how I got it on PlayStation. So. But on Xbox, I had a friend who bought it, and they've system shared with me. So I was like, I don't need to buy it. They already bought it.
Jeez.
So, Cold Heart worth it?
Jeez.
Nah. Yeah. I'm a cheater. I don't pay for things. I'm a freeloading millennial, and I like it.
Make us too Holly.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't pay for his own stuff.
You want me to... You pay me to play your game, all right?
That YouTuber life, that's how it works. That's how we get paid to play Destiny, kids. That's how we all live. Right.
That's how it is.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the bath encounter, how do you guys think that's going to change? Twice the amount of naked Cabal men, maybe?
Oh, God.
I can see that, because they spawn staggered right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes, like, the ones in the back of the room, depending on how you're looking at it, than the ones closer to, like, the entering door. So I could see it if they all came out at once, and then you don't have a person to help you kill what is probably going to be the hardest thing to kill in the prestige raid. If a 300 version of those favors is going to be insane to try to take out. But yeah, I could
big, I could naked and jiggling in your face, all of it. Yeah, I could see that.
Yes, please.
Some unforeseen mechanic with the plates, maybe.
You know what? You know what? I could see being something. There's that Scion that spawns in the middle and does a projection, and that's like nothing in the normal version. Like, you just punch it, and then there's one projection, like always. Maybe that spawns more projections or does something
pop on
more
every
elaborate.
Plate.
Yeah.
So you have to get back. Everybody has to get back to their plates really quickly, or else they wipe or something. That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Down with that.
I could deal with that. Other than that, pretty sure we've said that before, and I'm pretty sure we're wrong every single time.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. We should have no influence over this game at all. We don't. It's perfect.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the chat here, and you know what, chat? Keep coming up with crazy raid ideas. I'm seeing Jesse PB, as usual here, saying that the chains might reverse faster if you're not on them. So, you know, if you get pushed back, they drop a little bit quicker, so you have to spend a little bit more time. That could waste more time with your protection, running your stacks out. Yeah. There's a lot of ways they could make this section more of a headache, and
probably a shorter time in when you're actually doing the DPS on like the little lamp things. I can probably just see it, because I mean it takes a while for that Scion to spawn, so I can probably see them just cutting that time in half, just to kind of extend that. Because I mean that's a fairly easy encounter. Especially with that crisscross method that that we did last time.
You know what? I mean, it's weird, but it works, you know?
Yeah.
People usually go like, okay, bottom right, you know, they just stick on their side. Left, they just stick on their side. We go crisscross. So, like, if you're on bottom, if you're on, like, bottom left, you go to top right and vice versa. And we're weird, and it works. It works.
I could see how that could maybe shave off microseconds on your travel time,
because
you don't have to stop and turn around. It is, you are running a beeline to the next spot.
It worked. I don't know why it worked, but it did. It made things really 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 simple and smooth.
I can get down with that. What if that was like a challenge where you can't stand on the same plate until everyone has stood on it, if they added like a challenge mode, so you have to like find a way to rotate,
cycle
like that
around?
Yeah That'd be kind of cool.
I can see that.
I could see that too.
I love challenge modes. Are like my favorite thing. Or like the fun challenges like that.
And you want to go back and do some King's Fall challenge there, Mega?
No.
What's King's Fall?
Miss me. Just,
what's that?
I'll uninstall Destiny off of my hard drive just so I don't have to do that. All right.
You just miss me with that. No. But you know, the thing when it comes to the prestige mode of the Leviathan. The Leviathan is a very mechanic-focused raid. That's the main thing. There's not actually a whole lot of fighting that goes on in some of these encounters. I mean, there's a little bit of light combat, say, in the gauntlet section, where you're really just clearing out a quick wave of enemies, and then just running mechanics, and then you get another wave, you clear those. Whereas in all the other raids, the mechanics happened alongside of crazy amounts of enemies just bum-rushing you. And in that way, the Leviathan, it's more focused on puzzles and communication than anything else. And with the way that it's worded in the Bungie update, it seems like they're going to just kind of be adding in some of that need for gun skill alongside the ability to communicate and complete puzzles and complete those little challenges. Because they talk about the sandbox getting harder. And when they say that, the sandbox getting harder to me means more enemies interrupting you while you're doing things. So, like, if you're in the Pleasure Gardens, you're probably going to have more enemies jumping down, interrupting your paths while you're trying to get to your seeds. It says to me, when you're running the path in the gauntlet, you're going to have stuff maybe trying to jump up and shoot you off of platforms while you're trying to shoot at your triangles. So we might just get something like that where you just get flooded with enemies everywhere, no matter what you do. And
which has been a thing in the past.
It has been. That's
how they make things harder.
That's more tried ads. And true way right there. I mean, you look at the Prestige Nightfall, it's just more ads and more ads and more. And it's wonderful. But
you know, I hope you like ads.
Which is probably another reason why they're not increasing our power level, just to kind of keep that Prestige mode just enough harder without us like matching them.
And you know what? That's a great place to take the conversation, because actually a little bit of contention with the community, if you guys noticed, a little bit of salt with the community ever since this update came out, was over the fact that we are not getting a light level increase with this raid. Originally, the speculation was that the Prestige version was going to be like, you know, every other raid where the hard mode comes out and it can boost your light further. And people were thinking that the Prestige mode was going to do something to push towards that. Because, of course, if you look at the armory on Bungie's website and the database and whatnot, you see weapons and armor getting pushed as high as light level 350. So a lot of people assumed, oh, okay, well, when the Prestige drops, we're going to be maybe bumping up to 320, 330, maybe even 350. And this update confirms that that's not the case. We're not getting any sort of light level boost with this. It's just going to be shinier gear, and assumedly some prestige mode weapons, like maybe a raid fusion rifle and stuff like that. What do you guys think about that? Because this has caused, like I said, a pretty big stir in the community.
Moon?
Yeah, Moon, answer. You answer.
I'm not super mad about it. I've tried to keep the attitude of, okay, let's see how it goes. Let's see what it's like just before jumping the gun and being like, well, you should have done this and it should have been this way. So that's just kind of the attitude I'm trying to approach it with. I would like a way to get higher level gear, but again, I'm not mad about it.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm gonna get
I'm
into
not a, surprised. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Because they're really trying to make a push so people don't have to do the really hard things to feel like they are at the same level as everyone else, you know? Yeah. So it doesn't with that logic, like the giving free raid gear, giving free trials gear, you know, having like everything drop up to super highlight, they can't only have one activity that drops the highest light thing because not everyone can do the prestige raid. So it just I did not expect it, honestly, to push us higher.
Yeah.
Really, if I really thought about it. It's fine. It's fine. It's whatever. I mean, I don't. Once you're, if you're already at like 300 or 305 or whatever, like you can already do the highest light thing. If you can beat the prestige raid, what's the point in getting higher? I guess. Like, what would even be other than to make the prestige raid easier? And then what's and then the prestige raid isn't hard anymore. So I guess what even is the point if there's not another thing to do? Yeah. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. You know. So I think this kind of ties into a larger conversation about Destiny 2's current in-game and the complaint from a lot of players, including, you know, streamers and YouTubers, that it's making a push towards the casual, which I think is fairly obvious. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. The casual audience is by far much larger than those of us who run the raid, you know, three times a week and get every bit of content done. And I think, you know, I think there's merit to that. I think opening up the game to a more casual audience, there is merit there because it does allow more players to enjoy it. And I do believe that this, the decision to not really up your light level is one to, you know, kind of keep down on the in-game grinding just a little bit. But it kind of, in my opinion, it brings to question the notion of what's the point of light then? If you've brought it to the point where, well, the hardest activities in the game are no longer going to require it. You know, Trials no longer requires light levels. You have no advantage there. Iron Banner this week, there's no light level advantage. And the prestige mode of the raid is out, and it's not going to be boosting your light any further. It kind of calls to question, well, why do we have light anyways? It's just an arbitrary number to say, okay, well, you've reached in-game now. There you are, and it's nothing to push forward for. Because, of course, the light grind was what the in-game grind was in Destiny 1. And it, of course, is what the in-game grind was in Destiny 2, at least until you get to, like, 290 and above, and then it's like, well, there's no real point to light anymore, because at that point it doesn't really matter. And so I understand that complaint. I understand that worry from players who say, oh, well, there's no light boost with the prestige mode of the raid. I guess we're just going to run it once or twice, get the armor and the weapons, and never touch it again, right? Because there's no reason to run it if we're not chasing light. And I think it puts Bungie into a really kind of precarious position where they have to figure out a way to keep players tied into their game. Like, right now, we've experienced Destiny. We've played through the story, we've grinded up, we've gotten our loot and stuff. And without a push for light, without a grind to something to arbitrarily chase, what's the reason for elite players to continue playing? And the answer is you play it because you like playing the game. That's my answer to that. I play Destiny 2 because I like playing Destiny 2. But I think there is merit to the question of what are we chasing? And
yeah, you know, then that's true. Because, I mean, at the moment, like, I don't have I really don't have any, like, true motivation to, like, finish a raid. I mean, aesthetically, the gear, while pretty, it's not my favorite. Like, I'd rather go to IO and grind that gear.
The Jensen gear, yeah.
Yeah.
My man, he knows.
Right? So good. Yeah, instead of the raid gear. And, you know, back in D1, you know, getting to the highest light level meant that you were outputting the most amount of damage, like, in a raid, you know, and people wanted to chase that. And, you know, now, including in trials, because, I mean, if you went as a, what, like, want to say like a 260 light level into like the current or the last state that trials was in, you could get just bodied by a sniper shot,
like,
you know, and that just pushed people's, like, you know, let's I gotta keep grinding the end game so I can get, you know, higher stats. That way I won't get stomped, you know, in like the crucible endgame. And I can see why Bungie has, you know, turned off all those, you know, power level or light level advantages to, you know, just make sure that everybody participates and not is just the elite of one sort. But like you said, it's a very like hard middle ground to balance, because you're going to have your elite players that are going to want, you know, a tough thing to chase, but you want everybody else to participate in that. And, you know, what was the percentage that people completed a raid in D1? It was like,
it was small, yeah.
Yeah, it was like either half or less than half of the player.
I feel like it was definitely less than half. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. And, you know, I feel like that's, for them turning off the power advantages on multiple things, it's just going to encourage people to, you know, participate, including with like the clan stuff now.
And I mean, even in Destiny 2, I think I looked at the trophies the other day, and I think it said that only 13% of people had the raid clear trophy, and so that's a pretty small percentage of players, when you head to like let me take a look at Destiny Tracker right now, because they track the number of players, and right now, so yesterday there were 2.7 million unique accounts that logged in for PvE activities. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. And only about 13% of those accounts have completed the raid. You're absolutely right when you say it's not everybody who plays that content. And so that's why I say I understand when Bungie wants to open this stuff up to bring more people in, to say, okay, well, yeah, you know what? You don't have to be super in-game level to play Trials. You don't have to be super in-game level to play Iron Banner. You don't have to be super in-game level to run a prestige raid or something. Just that I think that's the point of guided games. I think that's the point of cutting down on this light. But like I said, at the same time, right now, Destiny in its current state, Nim, I think you and I had a conversation about this. At the end game right now is basically run the raid, get your weekly milestones done, you know, and run Iron Banner or your monthly events like Faction Rally.
Yeah.
When it comes to the prestige version of the raid, it's no light level increase. It's just going to be gear. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take you like 2, maybe 3 runs. Hopefully, if your luck isn't... If your RNG's not like mine, it'll only take you like 2 to 3 runs to maybe get what you want out of it. And once you've gotten that, what else is there for you to do until December when the first DLC comes out?
Yeah.
Because right now, I don't know about you guys' schedule, but my weekly schedule for Destiny, outside of streams, is to log on, do my milestones, and then I really have no reason to play. I play because I enjoy playing it, but like, what's to keep players hooked? What's to keep them, chasing something? I mean, you can only go so long spending gunsmith materials trying to get that Antia-P submachine gun before like you realize, oh well, this really isn't an actual carrot on the stick. The carrot on the stick has always been kind of the grind for loot and like the rewards you get for making yourself stronger in this. And it makes me wonder, what are they going to do to keep players hooked until December when the next bit of content drops? And I don't know what the answer to that question is right now. And now that we know that there's no light level increase.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
the same thing. Because I think the only thing, I mean, other than the milestones, the things that I'm going for is just like the remaining exotics that I have yet to collect on. Like, I'm still missing like the Orpheus rig on my hunter. I saw that. I'm jealous. Orpheus rig, Sweet Business, and Hardlay. Like, I'm still chasing after those, and I think that's probably the only motivation I have to like doing my milestones and maybe getting an exotic engram out of them. But I mean, as far as end game content goes, it's like, I mean, again, I'm not too big on the raid gear. I like some of the trial stuff, but I don't know. It's a weird end game what we have right now compared to what we saw back in Age of Triumph and, you know, Destiny 1.
It's funny to me because we have conversations like this about end game, and I think back to like the other first-person shooters I played the most in my life, and none of them had RPG grindy elements, things like Halo 2. I played like 14 hours of Halo 2 a day for months. Like, that's all I did was play Halo 2 nonstop. And there were no guns to grind for. It was just playing the game. But I think the main difference is the one thing that they could add that would get like a kid like what I was back then, hooked, is just a number next to my name that I can chase to try to move that number up.
It's silly, isn't it?
They just put a little rank, a rank next to your name in competitive, and I feel like half the people would stop complaining about not having a thing to do, because it is fun to just play the game, but people just want to feel like they're accomplishing something and not like wasting their life when they play a video game, I think.
Yeah,
like,
and
because it's what you're doing.
That would really cater to the more hardcore players too, and give them something to do as well. Just all the, you know, big streamers and everybody who are, you know, talking about not having anything to do. So that would be,
yeah,
and I mean,
a really good idea.
The big amazing streamers, honestly, they'd hit like max rank probably like in a week, whatever.
Yeah.
They immediately have nothing to do again. But all of these middle of the road players, you know, like me, we're never hitting the top. So that's an endless opportunity to grind right there, is to just try to get that number higher. And then if you're like me when I was in middle school, when you get it high enough, you never, ever play again.
That's right.
And you create another Xbox Live account.
Get your Smurf.
So that you can play with your friends on that and not ever worry about losing your rank. And that's what we need.
And I mean, again, looking at the chat here, Battle Jitney is absolutely correct. I don't want to put out the notion that there's nothing to do in Destiny 2. I made a video about this for PD a week or so ago. And there's plenty of things to do in the game. Like, you get in and there's stuff to do. You've got your flashpoints. You've got your weekly Crucible stuff. You've got your free clan stuff. Like, I just had a longtime buddy of mine who really just got into Destiny on PlayStation. Joined my clan a couple of days ago, and he's like, he just got to maybe like light level 265 and sent me a clan invite, and I was like, great to finally have you here. He logs into the tower and he's like, what's all this stuff at Soraya? It's like, oh yeah. And he gets like the Trials auto rifle, the Rage, or the Raid rocket launcher from these clan engrams. So it was great for him. But there is plenty of stuff to do right now, and we're only a month in. Like, this game's only been out for a month, so I don't want to delve into some of the oh, there's nothing to do in this game. There's dead.
There's tons dead to do. Absolutely. It's just that, like I said, I think people just want goals to accomplish in the game that make themselves feel like they're not just wasting time just playing.
Yeah.
Like, beating a new game is a goal. What you need something to stop people from just saying, I don't have anything to do, I'm gonna go play a new game. You just need something for them to chase, you know, just a little,
all
that
about
little
the chase.
Thing, because it's exactly the same on paper as just having nothing there. It's just a little thing to go after. And I mean, I could say there's nothing to do, you know, but like when you look at it, like I've played over like 150 hours in Destiny 2 already. Like, that is more than I play most video games the entire time I own them.
For their
lifetime. So like that's a lot of time spent in it, you know, like people, there's still plenty of people who don't, who have not even come close to that have more to do.
You're looking for something to do. We got something to do. We got an Iron Banner tournament coming up this week, starting on Tuesday the 10th, going until the 17th. Iron Banner has finally returned to Destiny. And why don't we just go ahead and dive on into it? The game mode is going to be Control. I assume it's going to have its own. Oh, you mean to tell me you Destiny players don't enjoy Supremacy? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Here's what I've learned.
Nobody
Bungie
does.
No longer knows how to make a good PvP game mode that starts with S.
Oh.
Let's just say it right there. All right.
Is that it?
Survival, Supremacy, they're dookie. They're trash cans. Get them out of here. Kick them out.
I like survival.
Survival is fun. Yeah. But for Trials, I don't like it. Let me put it
this way. I love it for trials.
I played a card with Fallout and Jova Rated earlier today. Took like over 2 hours to get through seven matches.
Gosh.
Like, it's insane. Okay.
Yeah. They do need to kind of like chop up survival for trials a little bit.
I like the game mode. I do. I just like it like one game. I like it like, you know,
you like it as a friend
now and then.
You just like it as a friend.
I don't want to play seven straight games or more if you lose of that, because we had one game, I swear to God, that lasted like over 20 minutes. Like, it was the slowest, campiest, most nail-bitey game, because we kept being like even on lives, and then it'd be like, nobody pushed, we're one up and these guys are good. And then we just, we went full amount of rounds to the end of the time, like every match. And it was like, oh my God, this is forever long.
That is rough.
Sweating. You were sweating.
We're sweating. I'm still trying to get rid of the sweat, so I'm not wearing pants.
Got
to
air out the pits. Yeah. Just let them blow out there. But yeah, it's going to be Control, and I'm not mad about that at all. I think Control works really well in Destiny 2. Yeah, the 4v4 and the way the maps work. I think a lot of the maps outside of maybe Vostok are pretty well suited for Control. Vostok's just a little too large. It's just way too big.
It feels like a Destiny 1 map. It's a little too, I feel like it needs more players or something. I don't know.
That's a 6v6 map if there ever was one in Destiny 2. But we got to learn a bit more about what's going to be in Iron Banner this time. So, of course, Control. Combat is still going to be 4v4. There were some people who were hoping that Iron Banner was going to incorporate a 6v6 game mode. I don't know how that would work on all of the maps outside of Vostok that we've been able to play on. I think 6v6. I think it'd be fun to have a 6v6 game mode. But it would be an absolute cluster. Like, there is... no way that would not go down and just mad mosh pit. But there's going to be no light level advantage. Just like Trials of Osiris, light level does not matter. So if you're like 230, you can definitely hop in there. I don't know if I'd recommend it, but you can do it. And bounties and ranks have been replaced with an Iron Banner engram. So they're going with the unified... Oh, that sounded like an angry... You want to talk about it, buddy?
I mean, that's just in line with one of those things that, like, you looked forward to Iron Banner because, you know, I mean, I'm just so used to, like, getting the bounties, getting my gear, getting my weapons from them, but now we're going to have to grind for tokens.
Yep.
And get that rep bar up. And don't get me wrong, that's fine and all, but, like, I feel like, I don't know, just that system just takes way too long, and the RNG is wicked heavy.
It is.
I think the only thing I don't like about this system is literally just that it's everything is the same system. Mm-hmm. So every activity starts to feel the same. Like the grind is the same on them.
I would like
a little bit of variation in some way between how every single vendor works in the entire game. It's fine. I don't know. I still don't know how I feel about power level not being enabled at all on Iron Banner, because I just don't know what makes it Iron Banner anymore. What makes it Iron Banner?
Why is it special?
Iron Banner's special because I don't have to play Supremacy in my mind.
It's special
because
it'll make you look like a space samurai.
Yeah.
Or a space knight.
Then my armor is poopy. I'm saying it. Hunter armor for Iron Banner is boring. No. All right?
This man confirmed not a weeb. What are you even doing on this show?
It's not weeby enough. That's my problem with it. It looks too similar in its silhouette to many other Iron Banner armors that we've had. Other than a little bit of like texture on it, it could be Iron Banner from any period of Destiny to my mind. Whereas the Warlock gets this awesome samurai skirt.
Yeah.
And, like, you get this like top knot and shit on your helmets. And then what do I get as a hunter? You could literally copy and paste that cloak onto any Iron Banner and it would be exactly the same. Like, to me, I want a little more, all right? It's going to be mobility, and I'm going to hate my life if it's mobility armor, I swear to God.
No recovery for you, buddy.
I swear to God, if it's mobility, I'm done with Hunter. I'm not playing Hunter anymore, all right?
It's got to be mobility. I mean, you already got the Quick Fang. You got the Quick Fang. That'll complete the set, man.
Look, Mega, you get to strafe faster than everybody else. There you go. You mean to tell me you're not happy with that?
That strafing will help me since my recovery takes 8 hours. Like, I get shot at the beginning.
Eight and a half.
I get my super faster than I get my recovery as a hunter, all right? That's how bad it is.
Could you imagine Thorn in today's world with the recovery on hunters? You get shot and you're burning for the rest of your career. You don't get to res. No, sorry, man.
Brutal. That's how I called Fallout out earlier when we were playing Trials, because I was shooting a guy and I got him really low and I was like, he's absolute. And then like he comes around the corner and he's like, he had more health than absolute. I was like, because you suck and you let a hunter recover. Like, you're bad. What do you want? Like,
yo, low key, is that the reason
Fallout
he's not
runs
here?
Like 10 recovery.
Ended the career.
Right is that yeah. low key the reason he's not on the podcast here? He's still putting some icy hot on that burn.
Still recovering.
Oh man, but yeah, the armor looks dope, man. We got to see what the full sets look like for all of the characters. Titans, as usual, have like an Elder Scrolls Nordy Skyrim sort of thing going on. Hunters, well, you heard what Mega had to say about that. You've got a cool mask. You've got a cool mask.
It's a really cool mask.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, and yeah, you're right. That could be interchangeable with any other Iron Banner gear ever, Mega.
Man. That's like, my only issue. I just wish it was a little more outlandish like the other ones. I love outlandish, goofy armor designs like the other two have. So I saw the Warlock and I was so excited. And then I looked over at the Hunter and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it's all right. I mean, it looks good. It's
I see
just
what
not,
you mean.
Just not cool. As like, cool, yeah. I should say.
Yeah. I see you, Mungie. Yeah, because the Warlock gear, what odd inspiration to go for like an ancient samurai kind of set. That's awesome looking. Sorry to rub it in, Mega, but it is. So.
I've said it already. Warlocks are the. I hate playing a warlock, but you guys are the only ones that look good in Destiny 2. I'm convinced. Like you're the only ones who get to look good because as a hunter, I have to wear like armor or resilience gear that's all baggy and ugly. Like the only good looking gear is mobility based, and I'm not gonna put that on. And then Titans, you literally take up like. The entire map, you're so gigantic and wide now with your shoulders. Like my female Titan is bulkier than a male Titan in Destiny 1. Like, it's ridiculous.
She big, yeah. dog. She big.
Oh, she's a brick house, okay?
But she mighty.
Warlocks all look, they look cool. The Warlock gear in this game is the coolest gear, and that makes me sad to admit.
Yeah, you're right. yeah, you're right.
It looks okay.
I really like the Titan gear, honestly. I almost prefer it to a lot of the Warlock gear as a Warlock main, so I don't know what to tell you.
It looks cool. I mean, we don't have gear set ornaments in this, which really hurts my heart. I loved that from Age of Triumph. So it makes me sad looking at the shoulder pads on the Titan and knowing that that wolf isn't going to turn an ornament on, open up, and start bursting flames out of the side. Yeah. But... it looks pretty dope, and I really hope that's a system that returns somewhere down the line. Because could you imagine mixing the shader system and the ornament system? Bungie, why? This is like up there with the like not having strike specific loot. What do you mean?
Isn't it weird that like as a step forward, it also feels like a step back? Because we ended with like so many like different types of ornamentation and such, and that's something that I legit thought was going to like just carry straight on over.
Yeah,
and no.
Like I said, that and not having any strike specific loot, I thought that was mind blowing for me when Destiny 2 came out and it didn't have that, because that was something that's universally praised. I can't think of a single player. Maybe you guys here can enlighten me. I can't think of a single person who looked at the Destiny ornament system we got with Age of Triumph with all the raid gear and stuff like that and looked and said, "I don't like it. Take it out of the game. I don't like it." Nobody, right?
Nobody's.
Yeah. I mean, we dropped almost 100,000 viewers on Bungie doing a fashion show for Age of Triumph. Remember, 100,000 people live watching that, and it was amazing. And I can't believe that Destiny 2 launched without a formal ornament system for anything
All
other
I can
than exotics.
Think is by the time they had implemented that in Destiny 1, it was too late for them to implement it into vanilla D2.
Maybe.
Like, just because I don't know how the fuck you make a game like Destiny, so I don't know how long it takes to add something like that. So just, but it has to come back. They have to have crazy ornaments like that.
Confirmed for DLC?
It better. Yeah. Like, I'll be so upset because like our visual effects are so lacking in Destiny 2. Like, even the head aura is not as cool as the flame from the Nightfall. And like, I really want cool, ridiculous, outlandish, bright lights and stuff that I can grind for, cool gear like
that. Is
that
even considered an aura, to be honest with you? That's a halo.
It's a halo.
It's a halo, yeah.
That's a halo.
It's
an aura is like a full body thing.
I agree with that.
I feel light about it.
I'm wondering. I mean, they gave it its own slot on the character detail screen, so I'm wondering if we're going to be getting different ones later down the line. I'd love, like, a Super Saiyan aura. Oh my god, if Eververse sold, like, a Super Saiyan Dragon Ball kind of aura. It's just...
Is there an emote where I can spend 30 minutes activating the aura? You do the emote and it just stands there.
I don't. Oh no.
Yeah, it would only count if your guardian screamed the entire time.
Oh no.
Yes. The Stop. Louder you scream into your Stop. Mind, it builds up your aura more Stop. And more.
I can already. Just get that Bruce Faulkner in there. Oh my god, I can already feel my wallet getting just lighter. Stop. Because I would spend money on it. I would. That's the kind of emote I would spend money on, Bungie.
New end game in Destiny 2 is you can just grind for that. TBL would be putting in 500 hours trying to grind for that.
Problem solved. We fixed your end game, Bungie. Just put an aura like behind, clear 5,000 strikes, and there you get like the Super Saiyan aura. Boom. I'm in. I'm done. I'm playing this game forever. Oh no. Oh man.
I have a question. Also. Do we know if we're going to get Festival of the Lost this month?
Sometime? I don't.
If they haven't announced it yet, that it just...
I'm just crossing my fingers at this point.
Maybe. I mean, sometimes it comes like the week of and
the
then
week
last...
of. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
They've surprised us with stuff like that before. And again, I feel like I've said this several times that it's been wrong every time, but it worked so well in Destiny 1, I can't imagine them not doing live events in D2. Mm-hmm. Especially when they have a great system for it. I think the current way factions and stuff work is perfect for something Festival of the Lost-y. You go out and you have maybe Ava Levante shows back up in the tower because she survived.
She did.
My granny didn't die.
She did
there.
Survive.
Yeah, they made sure to let us know.
She should be the holiday event coordinator.
Yeah, and just have her show up for it. So I'd imagine that's probably going to be something that comes back. Cause...
Can you imagine if it does? Okay, say that we do get a Festival of the Lost that comes out like right now with our current shader system. People are going to be clutching on to those Halloween shaders.
Oh, man, like, you know it.
Yeah. You'll be borderline like selling your account because it has those shaders on it like by the end of D2. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Oh, my. I held on to celery. You think I'm not going to hold on to something I can never get back like that? Holy crap.
Still got it. I still got my celery. Still in
Honestly,
there.
That's why I'm convinced you leave Destiny 1 installed with celery and raisins in your vault, then you get a special
exotic
in Destiny 2
exotic.
When the next Festival of Lost comes out. Yeah. Y'all are going to be mad when we get the peanut butter raisin shooter celery stick. All right. It's
going to overpenetrate.
It's going to look like just a shoot of celery that you put up into your mouth and you shoot a raisin right at him. And it does like no damage. It's just a demoralizing thing.
It leaves a hurtful note on the guardian who gets hit. So they just see it on their HUD like you smell. And it's like, oh.
It's just demoralizing.
But yeah, I mean, we haven't heard anything about any sort of live event, but that's usually the kind of thing they leave for a surprise. Like they announce the week before, or sometimes they don't announce at all and it just kind of happens. So I would expect something like that to happen because they got to keep us busy until December.
I would love to see that come back in the farm. The farm was just like super underused.
Yeah.
I've been
that's
saying
the point
this
of the farm
since before the game.
Is some sort of expansion that to happen there. So
Since before the game launched, I have been saying I want to see the farm decorated like the Festival of the Lost was in D1 because I'm so heavily invested in the aesthetics of this game. That's just it's something I'm really banking on.
You know, I would not be mad if every event except maybe a returning Sparrow Racing League, just the space for it was at the farm. I would love that if Festival of the Lost was there because there's so much they could do. It's such a large public space. You know, I could see them just hiding stuff around there for you to find. And the farm is criminally underused after you beat the story, and I'd love a reason to go back there.
The farm is just weird to me that it's so underused when like they made a huge point of like having trailers for it and like having a special you can only enter the farm for 1 hour of the beta like
experience the farm.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you had to spend time in it there because you weren't going to be spending any time in it in the actual game.
Makes sense.
They had to get it out of the way. So
some guy they gave him like he was like the little brother who they didn't have anything for him to do. They were like, go make the farm. And then, like, they felt bad, so they included it in the beta just for him. Like,
I mean, it's background. Buddy. It's background music is some of the best in the game, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I love the theme for the farm. It's great.
Yes.
But, yeah, I'd love to see that come back into play, because there's not really a whole lot of reason to visit it unless, you know, you want to go talk to Tyra.
Which I don't. Smells.
You're just mad that she forgot you. It's okay, man.
Yeah. Where are my ornaments? Where are my ornaments? Where are my cool artifacts at?
All
right.
What did you do with all of our artifacts, Tyra?
Yeah.
Like,
where'd they go?
I want my free stuff back. Where's my Fellwinters? But switching back to Iron Banner, one thing that had people a little bit worried but was confirmed later, there are Iron Banner weapons. You don't need to worry. That's a thing that's coming. Because, of course, they didn't show off any Iron Banner weapons in the This Week at Bungie blog. And I thought that was a little bit weird. I guess they want to leave them as a surprise, but they usually like to show off their
very
their
out of character. Handiwork.
Yeah, because they like to show that stuff off, and it's odd that they just didn't. But they did confirm later on via Twitter that there are Iron Banner weapons, so there is going to be something for you to grind for other than just the armor. I'd imagine it's probably going to have its own sparrow, maybe a ship too, and definitely some
sword.
Can you even get?
There better be a sword.
I hope so, man. I hope so.
That would be the first spot that you can get like a legendary sparrow outside of Bright Engrams, wouldn't it? If it had a sparrow.
Yeah,
you're right.
So I'm almost convinced it won't have a sparrow base just on that, honestly. It seems like they want me to have to buy them or
you buy your sparrow. Buy it.
Yeah. I mean, look, your parents don't just hand you a car, all right? You know? Well, some parents do. Bad parents do. All right. You gotta earn that car.
But yeah, I'd love it if there's an Iron Banner sword. I mean, because we didn't get one of those. And, as long as it's an uppercut variant sword.
Yeah,
nah, I'll take it.
I want it to just be another Hunter exclusive one hand sword. I need more weave sword action in my life. Oh.
Yeah,
we need some Dark Drinker animations. That's what we need.
I am waiting for them to reintroduce an exotic sword and for it to have the Dark Drinker spin to win. I don't think they're gonna do it because it was way more DPS than they were intending. But I want it because that's the thing that. That and a range sword. I missed the shooting discs from Boltcaster.
Oh yeah, Boltcaster.
That was super fun.
It's a great sword. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's Iron Banner. So
there we go. Exotic swords.
Me too, man. Me too. I'm kind of curious at that. We don't have an exotic sword in E2 yet.
Seeing Shaxx with the raise lighter, I was like, yes, they're going to bring it back, but no. Yeah.
He stole it.
No.
He just stole it and kept it.
He took yours. Yeah. Like, you went through,
hell, man.
He's like, I need this.
You went through all that trouble to make it in Destiny 1, and he's just like,
Shaxx is that guy when there's like a declared state of emergency, he went and looted. Like, he threw a rock through a window and stole my sword from the vault. Like, what are you
just
doing,
hacked
dude?
Into your vault, pulled all your stuff out, and like, this is mine now, Guardian.
Let's be real. If Shaxx asked you for something, would you not give him the thing?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, you'd either do it willingly or he would just kick your ass. So.
Easy money. Right. Yeah, I just have to take my thorn. You can have it. Just keep saying nice things about me in PvP. That's all I want. That's all I want from you, Shaxx. Well, all right. Was there anything else about Iron Banner you guys wanted to talk about?
Ooh, how about the fact that it's Saladin coming back and not Efferdy?
I'm going to miss Efferdy.
Yeah. Oh, man. She had such a melodic voice. I love listening to her.
She was awesome. Well, I'm hoping she comes back because, I mean, when they introduced her in Iron Banner, I think there was, like, somewhere in the lore that she had her own, like, set of, like, warriors somewhere in, like, a distant, like, galaxy. So I'm hoping to see her come back with, like, her army.
Yeah, that's where she's been for the past couple hundred years, off on a hidden colony of survivors that she won't tell you where it is because she doesn't want the Vanguard basically recruiting them all and making them come back to the city. And I think that's referenced by somebody in Destiny 2. Someone brings that up. I can't remember who it is. Ooh. It might be Shaxx. It might be someone else. And I think it's just a bit of, you know, throwaway dialogue. If you're standing next to an NPC, they mention it.
Oh, but, gotcha.
But yeah, I'm happy to see Lord Saladin come back, and him retake the mantle of head of the Iron Banner. It's going to be cool to see him back there. I don't know if we'll be getting like the standard type Iron Banner mission where, you know, you have to go and play a match or two and maybe you get a couple lines of dialogue from him, but I'm happy to see him come back. I'm happy.
Well, I think, was there a word of like a quest that you picked up from him?
I don't remember anything. It says the only things that are required for Iron Banner is that you complete the campaign, you visit Lord Saladin. Oh, yep, there is an Iron Banner quest. It says, yeah, you visit him in the tower to begin the Iron Banner quest. So cool. There we go.
There we go.
A little bit of stuff. It's probably just going to be going, you know, win a match or two.
Yeah, whatnot, participate. But,
no, TBL, it's going to be a massive, expansive campaign storyline mission.
17 missions.
To the Plague Land.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'll miss my Winter Wonderland. I miss the Plague Land. It's all right. It's beautiful.
You know, and I never got a proper Sally V, and I'm so sad about it.
Yeah.
What?
I love that gun.
Yeah, I never got a proper Sally V. Every single one that dropped for me was just absolute butts and perks. Like, I've seen God-tier Saladin Vigils drop in my fire team, but the two that ever dropped for me, grinding Archon's Forge, were just complete. Like,
if they had
butts.
A nerf, if they had a nerf special ammo, that would have been probably like my favorite gun by the end of
it. It was good, man.
I didn't start using it until they had already done the nerf, but whenever I got ammo for it, I just felt like I'd just be mapping you with that thing. Like, it was insane. Oh, I love that gun.
I mean, I can't believe you never got a decent one. So
yeah,
good.
I never got a... You know, I ultimately I just got mad about it, and I just started using the King's Fall fusion, and I was like, okay, this is my baby now.
Yeah, I remember running some raids with you. This will work. But yeah,
which, you know, on paper it looks bad, but it was good.
Just like your first curse, it looked bad and it was bad.
It's my necrochasm mega.
Also looked bad and it was bad. I don't care.
Hey,
I don't care.
1v1 me, bro. Let's go.
But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing the weapons that are going to be available in Iron Banner. We'll probably get I guess when the update comes out on Tuesday, we'll probably get an article from them posting what weapons are available and what. I cannot wait to see what the Iron Banner has this time around. Some of my favorite weapons in Destiny 1 were Iron Banner weapons. Yeah, my Fellwinters was beautiful. My Ephrodite Spear was great. And it's also a fantastic story. You know what? I think it was Shax talking about that story. I think... it was one of the class missions where you unlock your abilities. Lord Shax recalls the story of Lady Ephrodite and how Ephrodite's spear got its name.
That's what it was.
In one of those missions, Shax, one of the astral projections is Shax talking about that story. Knew I'd pick it up. There we go.
Wow.
But
I think that was that the Hammer Titan?
It might have been the Sword Titan. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what a fantastic... They just took a gun and gave it a great backstory. I love Bungie lore. But I can't wait to see the weapons. It's hopefully going to be some good stuff. And with the way weapons currently work in Destiny 2 right now, I got high hopes. I got real high hopes.
Me too. I'd say every Iron Banner has had some gun that was definitely like... a gun that you wanted to have. So yeah, I'm down. I want my Clever Dragon 2.0.
I want my
Lingering Song with Luck in the Chamber.
Actually going to be able to play on Tuesday, or is it going to be maintenance again?
Ooh.
It's been maintenance pretty consistently.
Yeah,
but
it's been maintenance like every week.
It says it's beginning, you know, October 10th. So
here's hoping.
But it's beginning at 2 a.m. Pacific, so 5 a.m. Eastern time, which is earlier than usual. Usually it goes live at 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, it goes live at 10, right? Well, yeah, 10 p.m.
For Pacific time, 10. So that's kind of odd. They're starting it basically at reset, which I'm not going to complain about it. It means I don't have to wait. I can wake up. And just immediately get on Iron Banner, which is cool.
You mean they've decided to stop doing maintenance right in the middle of my stream time? Like, they're not going to just smack me like that? Yeah. they're just like, fuck these guys.
Yeah.
Like,
nobody watches anyway, right? Nobody watches this anyway.
True. It's a little too real. It's a little too real, people.
Wow.
But yeah, Iron Banner coming up. It's going to be good. I hope it's an enjoyable experience. I mean, Control, fun stuff. New armor, good stuff. New weapons. But unless you guys have something else to talk about, what do you say we move on to questions?
Yeah. Questions.
Yo, chat, this is the moment where you guys need to start posting some questions in chat so we can answer you guys' concerns and whatnot. I saw a couple of really good ones earlier, but that was like half an hour ago, and I'm not scrolling back for that. No. No.
Gosh.
I think I am. Fallout plays? I ain't doing that. That's too much work. Write it out again. Write it out again, chat.
Yeah. Ask us questions, please. I need questions. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit here and spout nonsense the whole time.
I mean, in the meantime, we can chat it up about some certain things, like what are you going to do with yourself when Iron Banner actually is supremacy and you can't escape it?
Well, you know,
I'm
going to
pretend it doesn't exist.
I'm gonna live for those moments I get a shotgun.
I don't mind supremacy as much as a lot of people like are hating on it, because I mean, I think still supremacy is one of those game modes where you can go in by yourself and still have a chance. And I, you know, I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, you know, say take out supremacy and bring Rift, and I'm just like, wait, what? No.
Take out the solo viable mode and bring in the solo completely impossible, you know, solo queue mode.
Yeah. I would rather have Rift right now. I'll say it. Say supremacy solo viable, but if you're not team shooting, you're losing the match, guaranteed. Your crest is out there. They're going to grab it. They're all team shooting.
Yeah.
Rift, I have had several games where I grab that Rift and I fucking suicide run and slam that thing on
Mega.
My own. And that's exciting at
the
least.
The Rift right? MVP.
Yeah. I am Kobe, all right? I grab the ball and I shoot.
Better than that, man.
Immediately.
Megazin.
I do miss Rift.
Mega's in Rift looking like Michael Jordan at the end of Space Jam.
Exactly.
I
could
just
see
a team of four Warlocks coming in, all blinking with Rift and just taking that versus, like, I'm just there by myself. Like,
I can just see a queen in the background. Don't stop me now.
I don't know. I don't really want, if I can be perfectly honest, I don't really want either, but if I had to have one, I would take Rift right now. At least it'd be something different. That I know supremacy sucks in the current meta. Rift might not suck somehow, so I can at least have hope for it.
If it does suck, it wouldn't suck as much.
It can be rough with the meta right now, you know, the focus on team shooting.
At least you can get points in Rift just for shooting people. Like, just killing people gives me something. Rather than I kill them, their guy picks it up, we fight for like a minute and a half to get 1 point because we wipe their team and I get depressed, and then that's it. Like,
there you go.
Yeah. I just want Capture the Flag, really, if I'm going to be perfectly honest.
I would accept that. I would accept Capture the Flag, and it's
the things that you slam in the raid.
We've got
are
the
like,
animation yeah. for it already, and it's like, that's a
I'm
mode.
I'm convinced it's coming.
That's a mode that Bungie was famous for with Halo. Like, that was a huge game mode in Halo, and like, we never really got it in Destiny, and I always thought that was kind of funny. But I mean, I guess Rift is kind of a pseudo version of Capture the Flag. But I'd like to see a standard one where you just kind of take a standard, like in the raid, and just slam that baby home. So basically, Rift, but replace the Rift with a standard.
Yeah. Look, Rift is lame-o assault. All right, totally different than Capture the Flag. Also, Rip TVL's camera apparently.
Lost him.
Battery pack needed to charge or something.
It decided to die.
Yeah. Do we have questions? There's
a question here by Cinema Freak. Where I just saw. There he goes. What is our opinion on not having daily bounties?
Oh, this is a good one. Answer somebody. I'll go last.
Isn't that basically what the challenges are now or whatever that you get? So it's like, I do miss picking up my chore list every day.
I do too. But I think. Milestones are, is that what you were referring to, or like the actual
when you pull out your ghost and it's got the challenge list of things you need to do, like
for
Mycora
or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, like I think those need to be more prominently displayed because half the time I forget they even exist. But essentially, those are the same things as bounties because it's like go into Crucible and get solar final blows. Like it's like the same thing. It's just not. Like, I didn't go and choose it and, like, know what I'm actually working for. I can forget that I'm even trying to do it. So I feel they just need to make those prominent in my inventory, something that I can actually see outside of pulling out, like, my ghost. And it would accomplish the same thing, roughly.
That's true. That's a good point.
It's a little less engaging when you don't have to pick it up and when you don't have to turn it in. Turning in the bounty is like an aspect that is just a little on a visceral level is something, you know, like I go, I hit A across all of them when they're all ready. I go across the board like, I'm like, yeah, challenges just happen. I'm like, oh shit, I did my challenge. Cool. Like, I guess I would rather have bounties if I had.
It's a lot more streamlined for sure.
And you know, that's something, I agree that it's a lot more streamlined, and that's actually something that kind of ties into something else that I was a little curious about. What are you guys' opinions on not being able to, like, have a daily story playlist?
Ooh.
I mean, they're kind of there with, like, Korra's meditations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but those are, like, tucked away, like, in the tower.
Yeah, they're all far off.
I would like to have just more access to the story missions again. And I know it would get old after a while, but like there's certain missions that I want to replay and I just can't
now. I think the same thought goes into, or the same feeling goes into being able to select strikes from their correspondent planets.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Let's see. Do we have another question in chat?
Everyone's talking about combined arms with Drake tanks, and that sounds awesome.
I would love to see a combined arms, like a proper combined arms with six people on each team and like have the vehicles in there. Like that would be great.
Oh my goodness. I mean, well, one, they would have to have different maps entirely for that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and look, Bungie, you get a lot of flack for like reused content and whatnot. I know that's a huge meme right now. I would not be mad if you just like brought back First Light and stuff like that and just used it. I would love it if there was a game mode that spawned like one or two of the Drake tanks and just allowed players to jump in them and go do whatever they want. I think that would be super duper fun, and I would love a combined arms game mode in Destiny 2. I think it would have to be 6v6 though. You can't.
Yeah.
You couldn't have like a 4v4 mode. There we go. I'm back.
There we go.
Hey, welcome back.
I'm alive. I do exist.
He's a real boy.
I'm a real boy.
The camera was like, nope.
I was going to say something, and then my internet died for like a minute, and now I don't remember what it was that I was going to say, but it was really interesting, I promise you guys. It was great.
I've got a question from Puff Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
Asks, what do you think are the seasons in Destiny, and what do you expect them to be? This relates to something that Bungie has referred to in their weekly update when it comes to like to seasons with Faction Rally and whatnot, and them swapping out kind of vendor items and whatnot. We don't really know exactly what they're referring to. They've referred to time periods in Destiny before as seasons, usually in Destiny 1 when talking about the time in between like weapon or balances and like sandbox changes. So I'm assuming... Yeah, weapon meta. So I'm assuming they mean the same thing when they say seasons in Destiny 2. They're just talking about, you know, when the time in between patches. So the next time we get a very big sandbox update will be the new season. And how that's going to relate to stuff in-game?
I think that ties into clans as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Clans have, like, 7 ranks or something that you can rank up throughout the season.
I think that'll reset at some point.
Yeah, I think that will, and it seems like since it takes more experience each time to get up a rank, that they'll make it so like you can only be max rank for like the last couple weeks probably, because you get like serious benefits from ranking up, but they probably don't want you to be like at those really good benefits for very long.
Because they want you to keep playing, yeah.
Yeah, the clan rotate. Rank is the end game, guys.
That's it. That was it all along.
You just end up hitting 100,000 XP on Monday every time, but it's fine. Like, or on Tuesday, that's when reset is. I remember how this game works.
There's a question here from Black Bosoms.
Okay.
I love
says,
it.
Do you think there will be third talent tiles for each subclass or a new subclass in the future?
I would like both. I would bet on tiles.
I would like to see both. And I mean, if you kind of look at the new layout for how the subclasses are, I mean, they're little diamonds now, and you know, you can fit another little diamond off to like that empty space between the ones that you're not using. So I would love to see, you know, some kind of like addition to the powers that we have, or like a new like elemental type maybe. maybe we'll see it with that.
I wonder what that would be. A new elemental. Like, what could that possibly be?
This race that's floating off in space somehow, maybe.
Maybe.
Darkness. Well, I mean, it's going to be earthbending is going to be the third one.
That is. Earthbending.
I'm down with it. Let's do it. Now, I could fully see some sort. I've always kind of, the first time I played Destiny 2 at the reveal event, I looked at that start menu and I was like, oh, there's room for a third. They're adding more to this. Like, mm-hmm. I assumed it would be something you unlocked throughout the game more, but I feel like part of why they have now simplified the way you customize your character is so that they can sort of, it's like their answer to like making new characters is making new attunements for your character, you know, like it's not Overwatch, so they can't just like add in a new type of character, but they can add an attunement that plays differently for that thing. That's what I would imagine is going to happen. And then hopefully the year big expansion down the line, we get some sort of new subclass or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Maybe ice. I don't know. What do you do? What is there?
Yeah.
I don't know how they come up with things because I am not smart enough to think of new things.
You can't just come up with a new element like that, really?
Yeah.
Is that not how it works?
It's just not.
Works for Iron Man.
I think the harder thing is that it would be like the thing about the Taken King that was cool, like I've said before, is that everybody got a new element that they didn't have before. Yeah. Everybody getting the same element is going to, like, I don't know, just feels not as cool. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is about it, but I'd be curious to see new supers and stuff like that, like more team boosting supers, things like that. I don't know. Some people I've seen in chat before have suggested like supers that give your whole team armor for a little bit or buff their damage more freely moving for a little bit or something like that. I don't know.
It'd be interesting for sure.
Yeah. I'm down with it. I want a golden gun that heals my teammates when I shoot them, refills their health completely. Like, I'm shooting them with pure essence of light. Like, I've overcharged the golden gun. So, like, I can hang back and they push forward. And when they're weak, I just snipe them in the back of the head and heal them like I'm Ana from Overwatch.
So you can finally...
Anybody play Borderlands 2 with that Rez Maya from, like, the distance?
Yeah, yeah.
That's immediately what, like, popped into my head. Jesse PB in chat says, when they inevitably bring back heroic strikes with modifiers, what kind of new modifiers would you like to see?
That's hard because they'd have to differentiate it from the Nightfall somehow.
Yeah.
So
there's not a whole lot that we've seen so far in the Nightfall. I mean, we've seen Prism.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Momentum.
We've seen Momentum's the anomalies.
Cool. But anomalies, would that be like a modifier that could be applied to a heroic strike?
I don't feel like it would work.
No, because it's tied to timers. Out of the
playlist.
Yeah.
Like they can't put a timer on heroic strikes. So it had to be something a lot more akin to some of the classic modifiers from Destiny 1. So like Light Switch or what was the Mayhem modifier? Daybreak. Or something like that. I mean, they've already got the burns covered with Prism.
That light switch on Sabathun's song, though, would be...
No.
Don't
no.
put that out in the world like that. No.
How about no? But, yes, I could see stuff like that, maybe Brawler, whatnot. Some of those classic modifiers from D1 coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the ones that change your like I like Momentum a lot, ones that change how your abilities work. So I would like Momentum being applied to more things, even like to recharge all your abilities, like you have to run or things like that, or I don't know, I want a modifier where you have to, in order to recharge your ability, you have to use the previous ability in your list. So it's like killing, like throwing a grenade that triggers your melee to recharge. Hitting a melee then makes your class ability recharge, and then you can cycle through the three of them.
You just want to be a Devour Warlock.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yes, I want that.
Yeah,
I want to be able to experience the Devour.
I see one from Blasteroid. What is everyone's current favorite exotic weapon in Destiny 2? This is a good one. Moon, why don't you take us going first?
Oh, well, you know, I said Merciless last time. It's still pretty far up there, but God, I don't know. Yeah, no. I'd say it still holds the spot.
That's still worthy. Merciless is
what,
super
Mega?
Good.
What?
No, nothing. I'm thinking to myself, let me just pull up Dim, because I don't know. Off the top of my head, I can't think of which one is my favorite.
Let me go through this huge, giant list of exotics I've got. What do I feel like using today? I guess I'll go while you guys are wondering. I'm gonna say something a little bit weird, and it's an exotic that I just recently got. The Legend of Acrius, the raid exotic.
That is a good one.
That thing, I just got that this week. Ooh. That thing is so stupid. I kind of forgot I had the quest for it, and so just early in the week I decided I might as well go ahead and get this thing done. I mean, I should probably get that done. So I went ahead, completed that crazy arms dealer strike, and it gives you the base version of the
nightmare.
That strike I'm not looking forward to it being the prestige Nightfall in the coming weeks. But the quest version of it is basically prestige Nightfall level. And it's a nightmare to get through. You've got Prism, you've got the Oracle anomalies all over the place, and you've got like a super short time limit to get it done. It sucked. Use the cheese to kill the boss. Just stack up supers, wait for the right element to pop up, and then kill him in 10 seconds. That's the only way to do it. It sucks.
We struggled so hard on that, me and my friends playing through. That is the method. Like if you let more ads get in the room, you're just dead.
You're dead.
Every time you spawn, you're just dead immediately. Yeah.
So, do yourself a favor and cheese. But after completing that, they give you the base version of the gun. It doesn't have all the perks on it, but it's got its special ability and it's got a 1-round magazine. So and then you have to go out into PvE and like kill a bunch of Cabal. So I was like, all right, fine, I'll go do this. The first enemy I ran into was a major centurion, and I one-shotted it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Obliterated him. I erased them.
I was like, is there somebody shooting behind me or something? No, that can't be right. Let me reload this thing. There's a major legionary. One shot. There's a colossus. One shot. This is the greatest weapon that's ever existed. So, yeah, Legend of Acrius. It's so good. It does massive amounts of damage. It's got max range for a shotgun. It over-penetrates, so if you kill an enemy, it goes through them and kills the enemy behind them. It is so amazingly good. And I just had an absolute blast with it. Like, when I one-shotting major level Cabals blew my mind. I didn't think that was a thing that was possible in Destiny 2. And the Legend of Acrius does it. That's my pick.
Good. And they finally fixed it, so you can finish leveling it up, and then you can put it in the vault finally.
Yeah,
so you don't have to have two of your slots taken up permanently forever in your heavy slot, which is great. I'll say I love the Legend of Acrius. That is a gun that I wish I had the patience to get on PlayStation as well as Xbox, but I know there's no way I'm going through that strike again. One and done for me.
I understand.
So I'll say functionally and funniest gun to me, one of my favorite exotics ever in Destiny, is one that has been added at me in chat, and that is the Rat King, because we rat boys, and I love the goofiness. I love the idea of an exotic that is just more powerful the more of you have it equipped. I don't know. I have still never seen six people together all using the Rat King, but when you have four people, it literally like breaks the game. Like I mash the trigger as fast as I can and my gun is just like off the screen but firing in front of me. It's so fucking stupid, and it's the least functionally useful gun in the game, I think. Like, how often are you able to get all grouped up like that unless you're the most MLG team with your callouts of all time?
Team shots,
like,
baby.
Sharing a brain, but it's hilarious when you do get it to work.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm gonna throw that one in there.
I see Holtzman using it all the time now. Whenever I'm playing and he's on, I think he and Datto have run the raid a couple of times doing nothing but Rat King, right?
That was our original plan when we all got the Rat King. We were like, this is clearly the ultimate way to beat the raid.
The ultimate weapon.
Yes.
Might have to try that in Prestige. But all right, Nim.
For me, tractor cannon. That thing.
Oh my gosh. Okay, interesting choice.
It's so funny. Like it by no means it's a good weapon, but it's just hilarious in the Crucible. I recently took up Night Stalker Hunter, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with the map The Fortress. There's a power ammo that spawns in this like broken tower that has two entryways and like a little tiny window where people could like come through. Well, I decided to be disgusting and picked up the power ammo, and I could see people coming in from both sides. So I shade stepped to go in, and I'm just like hovering over the door, just back and forth. And as soon as like this poor little warlock came in, and you guys will see this in the tractor cannon review, the poor little warlock comes in, he just gets booped straight into the ground and like insta dies. It's like the most fun I've had with a weapon in the Crucible by far. Super good. Super funny. So you guys will see that clip soon.
You figured it out. You figured out how the tractor cannon is supposed to be used.
Oh yeah,
you gotta compress it.
Absurd ways. And I was like just farming them in that little tower for a subtle like 3 to 4 minutes, and they would just keep coming in. The most funniest thing.
Out of feed.
Oh.
I have a separate question that I'd like to ask, and related to the same thing. What is your favorite exotic aesthetically? Which one do you think looks the coolest? Because I have two answers. I have a permanent soft spot in my heart for anything made by Tex Mechanica or whatever. So the Prospector looks awesome to me.
Yeah.
I'm never going to use it, but I love how it looks. And then the Graviton Lance, when you put the ornament on it and you get that white and gross purpley, like super like 90s looking disgusting vibe on it. I love the look of that gun.
You mean amazing?
Yes.
Amazing looking.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. So then I pass on to you guys. What are your aesthetic favorites?
Sunshot for me.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Hands down is probably my favorite looking gun in the game.
That's a good
one. It's so different.
I don't know yet for mine. What about you, Mega? Or TBL?
What about me? Oh, you want me to go again?
What's your second favorite? Since we're focusing on weapons here, I'd have to probably say Cold Heart. It's just such a unique looking gun, and like the attention to detail they paid to it. Like you see the ice coming off of the coolant, cable. It's just so cool. I love the way Cold Heart looks.
Okay, I got mine, and I don't have this one, so I'm a little salty. But the Hard Light with the ornament.
Oh yeah,
this chrome, that thing is beautiful.
Yeah,
that's a
I would also like to add a Vigilance Wing, because it gives me those D1 trials feels that I love. So. Yeah, that one too.
Not bad at all. Also, just a double shout out to Hard Light's Futurist Chrome. Future! I love it. Good stuff. Well, all right. I think that takes us to the end of the episode. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to episode 138 of the Planet Destiny podcast. Don't forget, this coming week, we have got the Prestige mode of the raid and Iron Banner dropping, so make sure you get on the game, make sure you get your gains, and make sure you get your gear. But before we get on out of here, we are going to go through our roundtable of hosts here and let you know where you can find them across the internet and what they've got coming up. First up, Mr. Mega Magwitch. Where are you? Where do you exist?
I exist everywhere, in your heart especially. YouTube.com/HuskyRaid, Twitch.tv/MegaMagWitch every day from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Twitter, MegaMagWitch, all that crap. But for YouTube especially, hopefully maybe this week, probably the beginning of next week, Destiny Cops Episode 6, Choose Your Own Adventure episode featuring all the normal members of the Planet Destiny podcast, only one of whom is actually here right now, but it's gonna be a good one. Let me tell you, it's gonna be great. I think you're all gonna like it. And yeah, it's like 30 minutes of footage that I have in a freaking Premiere file right now that I'm editing through. Like the cut is 30 minutes, people. I'm not a professional, so it's a lot of crap. All right.
Can I just say I'm sorry for all the trouble I caused you in that, by the way.
You caused no trouble. Our director caused trouble by changing things, and then I forgot to tell you, so it's fine. Nem, what's up in your life? Tell us where to find you in that shit.
And you can find me right here where you guys are, Planet Destiny on the Twitch side. Schedule is being changed up a little bit. Normally, I would go live as soon as the Mr. TBL here would. But because I am going to be focusing on, you know, editing some stuff for the Planet Destiny things on YouTube, my schedule might move over to the evening after after DT. Other than that, you can find me on my own personal Twitch, twitch.tv/nemplays.
Right on, and Miss Moon?
You can find me at twitch.tv/moonvald and twitter.com/moonvald as well. I stream earlier in the week usually, but later in the evening. So, yeah.
Right on. And of course, I am The Black Link. You can find me pretty much everywhere on the internet, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, all at The Black Link, spelled the way it sounds, baby. And of course, on of the Planet Destiny Twitch page and the Planet Destiny YouTube channel at youtube.com/Planet Destiny. But all right, thank you so much for tuning in to episode 138 of the Planet Destiny podcast. We'll love your faces, and we'll see you next week. But if you're here live... We're going to host somebody, and I asked you guys in chat to give me some names. I see Sarah Daniels.
I have a name.
Ooh, that one's Shake.
I have a name that I want to agree with Shake, because he's doing charity to raise money for Petite, who's one of my favorite Destiny streamers, who lost his home in the hurricane in Puerto Rico.
Will be done.
Perfect.
So there we go. Starts. You got a link to it. Spam it. Spam it right now.
Oh, I'll do it. Hold on. Let me do it. Let me just write it down and copy and paste, because that's the thing you got to do.
So go toss that man a view. Let him know we love him. He's doing great work with that charity raid there. Let him know Planet Destiny sent you. Tell him to have himself a great day, and thanks so much for watching, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Jesus, everybody. Yeah, it's beautiful.